Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we set the intention with Naturally 7 and let it be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
I believe it's so important to be intentional about what you have committed to do. Taking this next 45 minutes to consciously come into communion with each and every one that joined in this morning. To connect with the ground of being, the source of all that is, the divine infinite, the absolute mystery that is right where we are. God in us as us. My beloveds, I thought that we have spent the last 12, 13 weeks deep diving into the archetypes, that I would conclude with a wrap-up. There was much to take in, much to understand. For myself, I found it a fascinating learning process. As I've shared often, it was something I avoided, not wanting to get into it, but having followed through, I understand now the importance of understanding how we are influenced by the different archetypes in any given situation. As we understand that, we can utilize it as a powerful tool for our own personal growth and development, to understand our motivations, our desires, and our fears, our trepidations, our worries. As we both recognize and work with them, the light and the shadow, as we went into detail as well about the shadow side, it can help us gain a deeper understanding not only of ourselves and of other people, but the world around us. And we can use that understanding to make positive changes in our life. Our archetypes are influencing everything that we think and do and feel. And equally, it is influencing those around us. They are almost, or could be described as like semi-autonomous personalities that operate within our psyche. It's important that we can differentiate and separate ourselves and understand which archetype is prioritizing in us at any given time. Because we know that the divine mind is always ever present. present, expressing in and through us as we consciously connect and co-create with it. And one of the most profound ways of understanding and accessing this connection is to recognize the stories, the narratives, the talks that we tell ourselves, the things that we have held on to, believed about ourselves, and that we think are true, when in fact it is just something that we keep retelling. As we understand these archetypes, they have three vital roles that they show up and express in our life. The first is that they influence our behavior. Because these are patterns of pre-existing, we show up when we are exhibiting a particular archetype trait, we show up and express and exhibit those behaviors and personality types. So if we are in the hero stage, then we're thinking, or hero archetype, then we're thinking of persistence and action and bravery. And so we have patterns of behavior that express that. The second vital role that it plays in our lives is that it triggers emotions. When we're experiencing a particular emotion, it is the emotion of an archetype. Different archetypal images evoke different emotions. So when we think of lovers, we think of passionate and passion. And when we think of kings, we think of being magnanimous. And warriors, we think of... You see, advertisers recognize how these patterns and how these emotions can trigger reactions within people. And hence, as I shared over the week, the various brands that use the various archetypes, it's to trigger those emotions within us, which will make us like the brand, buy the brand, use the brand. The third reason why archetypes play a vital role in our lives is they provide us with a sense of meaning. They influence us in two ways. Outwardly, through our behavior, exhibiting and expressing in the external world. Outwardly, through the primordial images in our inner world, what we are imagining and holding. Every single one of us has an inner world, that's one where our fantasies and dreams and emotions and emotional life. It's the inner world, which is the source of our own personal meaning. And the archetypes tap into the emotions of our inner world to give life a sense of meaning. And this is why it is so important that we continuously stress about the inner work we're required to do. As I've said often, the spiritual path, the spiritual journey is not for the faint-hearted, because it requires continuous and consistent working on ourselves to recognize our patterns, our behaviors, what needs to be let go of, what needs to be embraced, what needs to be aligned with. So, I can't stress enough the importance of working with these universal energies. But here are a couple of reasons, several actually. You get to explore new and unknown parts of yourself as part of your inner work that you're doing. We are always learning and growing about ourselves. We never stop. From the cradle to the grave, as it were, we are a continuous expression of life, developing, expanding, or shrinking in some cases. We get to experience positive growth areas in our life, like our relationships or work or spiritual development, we can discover gifts that we've forgotten, that have been buried in our subconscious, rejected by ego because our ego felt that we weren't enough of enoughness. We get to empower and embody those parts of ourselves we were previously disconnected from. We get to feel more whole, a more integrated and mature person. As we work with these universal energies, we understand ourselves on a deeper level. And we also understand others equally on a deeper level. We feel more connected, not only to others, but to life in general. As we work with these archetypal energies, we develop a more robust understanding in how to love ourselves, how to heal old traumas and wounds. Working with these energies can help us shift out of the places of doubt and anxiety and crisis and remember our true divine nature. But also gives us the opportunity to gain a unique doorway to our higher self, to our God self. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. I so invite you to connect and realign. It seems the phone cut out. These things are sent to try us, as they say. I'm not sure where the phone went dead, but hey-ho, we will continue. So let us reflect on the 12 archetypes that we began with. First, we began with the idealist or the innocent. This archetype represents freedom from preconceptions. It's about trust, unconditional love. And it begins as the idealist or the innocent becomes wiser over time and wants to feel safe. This storyline, when we are hooked into this archetype, helps us feel secure and urges us to have faith in something beyond ourselves. It's pushing us to have a positive attitude or to live in a good and a moral and virtuous way. This archetype promotes faith in the benevolent spiritual intelligence of God. The practice of gratitude and optimism is fueled by trusting yourself, others, and the future idealist needs to make sure that they are not in denial about real problems, that they need to be faced, resistant to, and that they shouldn't be resistant to change. The idealist who combines joyful innocence with confidence is helpful in difficult situations that may challenge you. They're resilient and persistent. So then we have the next, we did the realist, or the every person, who's, when we think of them, we think of altruism, respect, fairness, accountability. The realist, every person, also desires safety, but often has experienced neglect or abandonment or abuse. Thus, it believes it's necessary to face conditions as they are. They're open to bonding with others who have also suffered hardship and try to gain skills to prevent harm. We need to, when we're in this archetype, recognize and contribute our strengths to work, to accomplish practical support and tasks in order to achieve our success. We need to be careful not to be playing the victim, because we've developed too much pessimism or become cynical or negative. The realist can be resilient using their past negative experiences to assess what must be done and to face difficulties. Then we have the caregiver. When we think of the caregiver, we think of altruism, compassion, patience, empathy. This archetype is aware of human vulnerability and how we all at some point need comfort, compassion, and care. The caregiver is quick to notice others' needs and to do what they can to help. The care gives us, reminds us to live in the law of circulation, not as a prosperity focus, but as a balance between authentically caring for ourselves and others. And as we give, we receive in a spirit of gratitude. The caregiver type needs to watch any tendencies towards martyrdom or enabling others, and to be careful not to burn themselves out while putting others first. The warrior hero, this someone when we think of self-sacrifice, courage, transformation, strength, stamina. When we're in this archetype, we notice dangers. We notice danger and quickly try to identify who or what is causing it, and then to protect the vulnerable by eliminating the danger. We persevere to accomplish goals. This warrior helps us to recognize desires that, if they become actions, could lead to harm. It activates the energy to replace harmful laws or structures and attitudes while seeing the divine in all people. The warrior responds to stress by working harder and is resilient because they see danger and know how to identify what course of action to take and how to protect and serve. In a crisis, the warrior helps us maintain healthy boundaries, organize our needs, and assess risks. Those archetypes work together in a collaborative process of manifestation. The idealist manifests through clairvisioning, the realist through pragmatic action, the caregiver through compassionate help, and the warrior through perseverance that supports both external and internal goals. Then next we covered the seeker. When we think of the seeker, we think independence, bravery, freedom, self-sufficiency, nonconformity. The seeker is motivated to leave a place or a group or a mindset that fuels oppressive or inauthenticity. It answers the call to adventure to find something better, and in the process learns to enjoy the journey itself. We know that the seeds of our authenticity can start to sprout, and we grow where we feel a desire to discover and express and manifest our best self. The seeker archetype helps us honor the process of growth, driving us forward and giving us the strength to recognize what isn't working, what is oppressive, and what calls to us. This archetype trusts the seed of our authenticity and is always ready to find new knowledge, understanding. We have the lover, which represents faithfulness, passionate sensuality, spirituality and sexuality, expansiveness, vitality. It's driven by eros, following who and what we love, and then committing to loving them, and helping form and cherish beautiful experiences and mutually exportive of communities. This archetype is at the root of the law of attraction, which allows us to draw to us what we desire when we develop its mental equivalent within. The lover knows that beauty and love will bring us home at every turn. This archetype activates the laws of unity and love, celebrating the ways our connections build our ability to attract inspiration and connection. Then we have the creator. When we think of the creator archetype, we think of creativity, imagination, nonconformity. Every story begins with a wish, then moves to listening for guidance, then from a muse or something that provides a vision for a better world. This vision requires us to develop the skills to reweave our realities into a more artistic and beautiful form. We then know our true selves better, as our creations mirror who and what we are. The life we create will mirror our highest potential when we consciously link with spirit. The creator archetype relishes the opportunity to collaborate with divine mind, manifesting new ways of thinking and being, as well as celebrating craft, invention, and creativity. The mature creative creates tangible experiences and objects in response to both inner and outer inspiration. So, like the creator, the next one in this group, the revolutionary outlaw, is about leadership, risk-taking, progressive and provocative thought, bravery, personal power, and also links with the creative mind. It's focused on removing obstacles that get in the way of realizing a new vision. It's about transforming your negative thoughts to provide room for a more positive mindset, utilizing affirmations, meditations, learning and studying. The revolutionary archetype relishes collaboration, focusing on transforming what is not working individually and collectively, removing obstacles to freedom, authenticity, and unity. The revolutionary is activated by a spiritual epiphany or an internal transformation that shifts past mental constructs. It's a way of liberating and releasing outmoded practices. Now, these four archetypes, they work together to support a collaborative work process that manifests our desires. The seeker seeks to fulfill desires. The lover satisfies that longing and cherishes it. The creator enhances and builds a vision to augment the beauty of desire. And the revolutionary defines and understands our desires. And now the final four. We have the ruler. When we think of the ruler, we think of power, confidence, dominion, high status, leadership. This archetype values orderly systems that make life work better, responding to chaos or things that are out of control. Its plot line focuses on organizing our own lives and taking responsibility for others in keeping of our own values. We learn that this archetype is aiding us to be sovereign of our own realms, to be guided by spirit. We encourage to utilize and discover what works for us as individuals, to claim our power and responsibility for ourselves and for others. The ruler is always seeking the value of order as a way to manage change. They find ways to organize responsibilities and tasks, implementing or reinventing structures needed to minimize chaos. The ruler archetype can help us manifest inner and outer order, which in turn helps us live our beliefs even as we change or face changes in the world. We have the jester with wicked humor, originality, reverence, present moment awareness. This archetype prefers to be spontaneous, to go with the flow, to do what is enjoyable, and find the humor in horrible things or mistakes. The jester helps us to lighten up, to enjoy our lives, and provide experiences that invite others into an attitude of celebration. This archetype reminds us of being joyful and using celebratory prayers and songs and dances, all as opportunities to cultivate inner joy, which helps us to be real and present to the delights that spirit, the universal source of all that is, that brings. Then we have the sage. When we think of the sage, we think of wisdom, intelligence, truth, clarity of thought, rational decision-making. The sage seeks truth and cultivates a desire to figure things out, structuring how we study and investigating our theories and laws and learning facts. It uses logic and insight and complex thinking. All of this guides the sage's processes. It's a reminder that we are continually learning from all of our experiences. The sage can help us promote a world that works for all because we're able to face the facts. The sage loves to learn. And they can explore and adapt mental constructs as a way of strengthening clear manifestation. Investigating ways in which we can reflect the divine mind out into the world. Finally, we have the magician. The magician is the ability to dream enormous dreams, awe-inspiring intuition. The magician archetype seeks inner spiritual truths that are invisible to the eye, often those that mirror scientific laws and effects which happen through our changing perceptions. These truths are sought for the specific purpose of healing and transformation. The magician heals through using the power of mind to shift our consciousness as a first step towards opening an inner space of healing and transformation. Sharing this energy helps us to manifest healthy solutions that help our species and planet survive and thrive. The magician understands the alchemy of change is healthy, exciting, and natural. Because they value and work towards transformation, they are comfortable with discomfort because they honor the new and the unexpected. This magician archetype uses the power of mind to shift their own consciousness to transmute trauma into insight, dysfunction into new life, making gold from ordinary changes. We can see from these final four archetypes that they help us to manifest our desires for ourselves and our world. The ruler manifests through creating plans and systems, the jester through joyfully living in the now, the sage through discovering and sharing knowledge, the magician through self-transformation, leading to healing and transformation. We can see how as we access each of these 12 archetypes, how each of them is valuable for our inner work as well as the outer work in the world, for our relationship with the sacred. And even those ones that feel less natural or familiar, they are too a part of our potential. It is incumbent upon each and every one of us to take what we can from these archetypes, the light and the shadow, and grow. As we bring these archetypes and recognize which team, they can help us become more conscious of what is motivating us. They can help shape the way we view the world. They can see what's driving us and driving other people. We can see their behaviors. We can become more conscious of the motivating factors and that have driven us. And if they're unhealthy ones, then we can cease being controlled by them. Today, I'm not sharing a story with you online. Or rather, I'm going to post the story that I want to share with you because it's too long. And we've used the work of Carol Pearson throughout this deep diving into archetypes. And she shares on her website her story and how the various archetypes have influenced her through her journey. And it's too beautiful not to share, and it's too long to share it today. So I will post the link in our WhatsApp group so that you can go and read her story and see how the archetypes have influenced her and influenced her behavior. So I've created a meditation for us today for our archetypes. So if you haven't already, before I do that, I should share our Signs of Mind reading. Science of Mind reading is entitled Being Aware of Our Wholeness. The first quote comes from John Kabat-Zinn, who said, "You are whole and also a part of larger and larger circles of wholeness. You may not even know about. You are never alone, and you already belong. You belong to life. You belong to this moment, this breath." Ernest Holmes from The Art of Life. All human endeavor is an attempt to get back to first principles, to find such an inward wholeness that all sense of fear, doubt, and uncertainty vanishes. The author writes, "Our wholeness guarantees that our nature is divine, being neither bad nor broken. Although we may do things that harm or cause pain to others, when we are aware of and acknowledge our wholeness, we have the absolute ability to be clear, confident, awake, aware, and certain of our divine nature. From moment to moment, each of us gets to choose wholeness over limitation. Being whole, we are also able to see the world we live in is whole. By seeing the wholeness, we understand that there is no mistakes, only opportunities to learn about ourselves and our world and to grow from what we learn. Our wholeness is our divinity, and it serves us to be vigilant in not assigning fault or blame to ourselves or others. Instead, we can choose to see that everything happens, even the things we do not like, fits perfectly into the fabric of our lives. We are here to learn and expand our consciousness as we faithfully serve the world and all its inhabitants." So now, as we go into our reflective meditation, if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes, to bring your attention to the breath, the gentle inhalation and exhalation, the ebbing and the flow, the contraction and the expansion. Always I like to remind you of the words of Job, who said, "It is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." As we take the next three deep breaths in, let us be cognizant that we are breathing in the breath of life itself. Inhale. Lower the diaphragm, extend the stomach, and breathe in the life-giving, renewing breath of God. Hold. Release. Inhale. Hold. Release. For the third and final time, inhale. Hold. Release. I want you to think of yourself, that authentic self, your true self, as a plant. We are born with certain qualities, our families, our communities, of the soil that we are planted in. These are the seeds of our first stories that introduce us into the archetypal patterns and beliefs that shape how we sprout. And it's inevitable that we will internalize these ideas. But as we grow, we can become conscious, and we can create healthy mental constructs that support us. And as we mature, becoming fully leafed individuals, we can master the archetypal patterns that fertilize our jewel, our joy. So affirm. Divine mind, as I now become conscious of the archetypes and how they shape who I am and who I am becoming, help me create healthy mental and spiritual constructs that support me in living and creating a fluid and authentic way of being that is adaptive, intuitive, expressive, and transformative. I cultivate the idealist archetype by finding ways to affirm the goodness of the people around me and the beauty of the world. I cultivate the realist archetype as I reflect on past experiences that taught me fundamental skills. I cultivate the caregiver archetype as I practice the law of circulation daily, celebrating all that I give and being grateful for all I receive. I cultivate the warrior hero archetype as I allow and connect with your core values and let go of negative thoughts and claim the courage to hold and manifest positive and protective solutions. I cultivate the seeker as I meditate on oneness, building my awareness that I can trust and cultivate the sacred path of my calling as a way of honoring my soul's evolution. I cultivate the lover as I open my heart and breathe in the beauty around me, the vibration of my joy will call love to me, supporting my growth by building connections that affirm my evolving self. I cultivate the creator as I begin affirming that no matter what I experience, I can choose co-creation to generate innovative solutions and healthier realities. I cultivate the revolutionary by accepting that the discomfort I may experience is both temporary and necessary. Change vibrates through me as I awaken. I cultivate the ruler as I practice affirmative prayer as an adaptive tool for centering. I cultivate the jester as I go with the flow and cultivate inner joy. I cultivate the sage as I explore and adapt mental constructs as a way of strengthening clear manifestation, investigating the ways the world mirrors the divine mind. I cultivate the magician as I trust that which seems broken as part of the transformation process, already vibrating in divine mind and co-creating something new through prayer, observation, and experimentation, welcoming synchronicity and change. I embrace and explore the various archetypal patterns to live a story that blesses me with love, confidence, peace, faith, and abundance. As I live a joyful, connected, and successful life, aware and aligned with my oneness with you and all of creation. And so it is. Take a deep breath as we enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that's in need of prayer at this time. We know that God is the life force, the presence, the power that is everywhere present at every point in space and time. There is nowhere where God is not. Mother, Father, God, as we consciously come into communion with you this morning, opening up to recognize, embrace, and embody these archetypal energies so that we can deepen in our connection with you, so that we can understand the stories we create, the stories we are living, the stories we are expressing, and rewrite them to express the kind of stories and life that we want to live and to have. We are co-creating with you through these stories that we are believing about ourselves. For you are no respecter of persons, and whatever we are holding in consciousness or allowing to dominate in our awareness is what will be reflected and manifested back to us in our world of form and experience. Mother, Father, God, you who are the Almighty, you who are the Creator, you who are the Sustainer and Giver of every single thing, let us deepen in our awareness, let us deepen in our understanding, let us deepen in our expression of who we are and whose we are and what we were created to be. Mother, Father, God, there is so much happening in our world at this time. But I want to take a moment to remember those who are in need of prayer and healing, who are in hospitals and homes and their hospices, who are experiencing in their organic form sickness and disease. We know that the truth of you, the truth of our spirit, is that it is eternal, perfect, whole. And whilst our organic forms may be expressing sickness, we remember the truth. That we are made in your image and likeness, that image and likeness of health, wholeness, and perfect expression. We call forth this perfect and right expression in whatever way, shape, or form that is needed in all the various needs that exist at this time. For I know we need a healing in our physical, in our mental, in our emotional, in our spiritual bodies. I know that we need healing of our world that is in crisis at this time. We need a healing for justice, for equity, for fairness, for acceptance, for oneness. in all the ways, shape, and form that all sentient beings at this time are in need. Mother, Father, God, I surrender it all to you. For you who are able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever, ever grateful. And so it is. And so it is. And so it is. My beloveds, take a deep breath in. I'm cognizant that we had a lot to take in this morning with the recapping. And because that break in the connection, I'm very mindful I might be overrunning. So I'm going to unmute the phones for our Science of Mind affirmation only. Well, the phones aren't unmuting either. Today is truly a testing morning for me. So let us affirm right where we are. I am whole, and I live in a world that is whole. Knowing this, I recognize and celebrate the divine light that dwells within and all around me. Our rumination for this week, Rumi says, let's delight in one another now, before there is no more you. No more of you and I. My beloved, it's Earth Day tomorrow, in whichever way you choose to acknowledge and celebrate our Earth Day. My closing benediction is from Walter Rauschenbusch. The beauty of nature, O God, we thank you for this earth, our home, for the white sky and the blessed sun, for the salt sea and the running water, for the everlasting hills and the never resting winds, for trees and the common grass underfoot. We thank you for our senses by which we hear the songs of birds and see the splendor of the summer fields and taste of the autumn fruits and rejoice in the feel of the snow and the smell of the breath of spring. Grant us a heart wide open to all this beauty and save our souls from being so blind that we pass unseeing when even the common thorn bush is aflame with your glory. O God, our Creator, who lives and reigns forever and ever. My beloveds, a bit of a disjointed Sunday soul this morning, but we managed nevertheless. My closing song is by Austin French, entitled God is Good All the Time. Enjoy.
Maybe I've been wrestling with everything, and everything is hard. Been caught up in the worry and anxiety, keep tearing me apart. But I've been drowning out the board, and every time I cry out to the Lord, He meets me in my knees. I've seen it, I believe.
matter what, my eyes can see. My peaceful wide as the raging sea. I know God is good.
God is good.
My beloved, I wish you a very blessed week. Until, peace and blessings.